Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
All righty then, okay, everybody, now that you're all full from the holidays, we're all up a few pounds. We had a good one. We had a dynamite gold medal time today in World Junior Hockey. And we're ready to talk some racing for the 14th straight season here on Racetime Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Racetime Radio for the 2020 season. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the good old RTR studio. Junior, that was quite a holiday.
It was an awesome holiday. And how about Canada? I know you touched on it. World Junior Champs, 18th time, gold medal, amazing. Just a stellar game today with Russia.
You know, that is, that's the only hockey I watch all year long.
Me too.
That's it, right
100%.
There. 100%. Yep. I live for it. I love it at the holidays to tune in. Boxing Day, actually, you go a little bit ahead of that, and you get the pregame stuff, so you kind of get to know some of these new player names, and you get a chance to see a country or two, and I'll tell you what a super, super holiday this year. We had a great holiday. Got to thank my wife, Susie Q, for absolutely a fantastic holiday. And you too, Junior. Man, I got a lot of neat gifts.
We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was good. And through that entire time, of course, it seems like it's holiday time. There's a couple days in there where we don't talk about racing at all. But there's a tremendous amount of racing that, you know, you catch up with people over the holiday, you know, just running into people in like Walmart and, you know, local racers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really interesting to hear all the buzz around Sauble Speedway.
Yeah.
Like around here, there's a tremendous amount of talk about this new platform that that Sauble Speedway has rolled out. But it's funny, you run into a racer that you maybe haven't seen for a while, or maybe haven't raced for a while, and you end up spending 25 or 30 minutes talking about it, and it just seems like during the Christmas holidays and New Year's break, I bet I ran into like 15 people, and spent time breaking it down and talking about Sauble. So,
well, you should go Christmas shopping more often for me then. You get a chance to see everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get out of the house.
Okay, next week more.
Yeah.
We'll put a tree back up. I don't care.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal.
We'll do that.
Deal.
We won't call it Christmas. What will we call it?
Chocolates only.
Ooh,
is what it is.
Ooh, that'd be good.
The Visa bills are coming.
That'd be good.
No, but man, we got a big lineup tonight.
Yeah,
14th season.
Yes.
We got to talk about that. That's a big
it
number.
Is. Yeah, we started Racetime Radio back in 2006, a brain child of mine. And originally, we had Bob Sanders on this show and Fred Wallace. Fred was the sports director, still is, sports director on AM 560 at Avon Sound, Ontario. Bob Sanders, dear friend of mine, works at Shoal Dice Designer Stone. Believe Bob is still there at Shoal Dice Designer Stone. And we started this show for one thing, Junior, and that was to get word out, let the racers have a voice on radio, because we weren't getting any kind of real good, attainable kind of coverage on radio. It was hard enough getting it in the newspaper and so on. So I wanted to create a radio show that we could get racers on and really share their story amongst like-minded people, race fans. It started out as a Sauble Speedway show in Owen Sound, Ontario, and within one calendar year, it went from our area to all of Ontario into all of Canada. And within 2 years, we got on Sirius XM satellite radio. And that took us right international across the U.S. and Canada. And it's been building ever since.
Absolutely.
Been building ever since. Bob and Fred, no longer with us after year number one. Fred had a contract signed with his radio station, said my voice can't appear on other radio stations.
Yep.
So he had to bail out. And Bob, he was at the point, too, where he was quite comfortable with everything the way it was.
Yeah.
And really wasn't too interested in the big picture that I had in mind. So at that point, Bob bailed out.
Yep.
And we took the ball and ran, and I always had a plan to not only have a radio show that absolutely all race fans could enjoy on both sides of the border and talk about short track racing, but I also wanted to have a broadcast crew and bring fans live flag-to-flag coverage of races that no one else in Canada had done. And I know I had done it when I owned the All-Star Racing Series. And it was such a cool thing for the All-Star competitors. And that was right when the Internet was just starting to come out. The only way you could listen to the show if you weren't in the AM 560 market was to listen to it on your computer, because back then you didn't have players on iPhones or Androids or anything like that. Remember, that back then it was just like the old flip phone. You were lucky if it had a screen, let alone could play music or video or anything. Well, man, have times changed today. Now, you know, we depend on that telephone. Absolutely everybody has one.
Yep.
And where the Internet used to be this little wee thing, now it's this massive thing,
yeah.
And we're sure glad that everybody has locked into it, and the Racetime Radio name continues to circulate. So tell your friends if they haven't listened to Racetime Radio, or maybe this is your first time listening to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. I'm sure you're going to enjoy the show. Now 2 hours each and every week. We come on the air every Sunday night right here on Sirius XM and on our live stream. And then you can hear us on 98.9 XFM. That's one spot in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. You can also hear us on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. And I believe that relationship has got to be 7 or 8 years in the making.
Running. Yep.
We're also available on Gearhead Country Radio, or you can listen to the show when you want to listen to the show on demand. You can get it on racetimeradio.com, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, the iTunes store, and search Racetime Radio. And when you see that, give it a click, hit subscribe, hit like, and presto, you're going to have it on that handy-dandy little phone in your hand each and every time we hit the air, whether it's on a Sunday night program or whether it's on a live flag-to-flag broadcast. So that's what we got coming up for you in the 14th season of Racetime Radio. And I got a funny feeling, Junior, this is going to be the biggest season ever for live races and for Racetime Radio.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously for show number one in that 14th season, you went all out. We got some heavy-hitting guests on the show.
We sure do. I went a little nostalgic, okay? Our very, very first show for Racetime Radio, we started the company in 2006. It was December. The very first Racetime Radio show happened on July the 5th, 2007. And it was a one-hour show. And our very first guest ever on Racetime Radio was J.R. Fitzpatrick. And he, now, look at, he's won championships, and he's been down south racing, and he's been all over the place. And JR is going to be our first guest here tonight.
That's cool. And as well, on the nostalgic side, I thought you were going nostalgic to talk about the next guest, which is Steve Robley.
Yes.
The legendary, you know, CASCAR sportsman, CASCAR driver, late model, you know, everything under the sun, all things Delaware Speedway. Of course, we had Matt Robley on the program a couple weeks back before the holiday break.
Yep.
But Steve Robley is going to jump on the program and talk to us as well.
Yeah, we're going to dig into some past, and we're going to look into the future with Steve Robley. Dave, I got to thank Dave Alexander right now from the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. He sent me a file tonight with all the stats. So we're going to dig into some of the Lucas Oil stats that Mr. Steve Robley had laid down, and he was the man.
Big numbers.
Oh, yeah.
It's
lots of wins, championships.
Exactly. Yep. He's one of the winningest drivers in Canadian motorsports history, for sure.
Well, to prove our authentication, where we do go coast to coast, want to let you know also on tonight's show, our second guest actually is going to be Aaron Duggan. I believe I've pronounced his last name correct, but we will find out. We'll call Eric Deegan. Let's call him Eric Deegan. And I know Aaron is going to straighten me out. He's with the Western Speed Association, super late model. He's going to drive this year, Junior. He's going to drive the 17. I think he did one or two races last year in the 17 Super out there at Wynette Group Speedway. He's going to drive for Rob Jensen.
I don't know.
I'll get the names right.
Yeah. We'll
you know, when
out.
I meet you, I never forget you.
That's right. That's
but when
right.
I look at it on a piece of paper
first,
sometimes.
First time on the program.
So we're going to go to Saskatchewan Way. And we're also going to catch up with Tim Terry, the voice of the Parts for Trucks Tour. Tim, also the owner of timscorner.ca. And Timmy, if it happens in the Maritimes, Tim Terry has always got his pulse on, or his finger on the pulse. And we're going to catch up with them tonight and find out what some of those rumors are that are flying around out there in the Maritimes.
Well, one of the things that he did, going back well before the Christmas break, he got all the promoters together, or attempted to try to get all the promoters together for wings and beer at a local establishment there to talk about, you know, racing and talking about
State of the Union.
Exactly. And kind of a neat deal for a media member to do that. Obviously a tight-knit community out there. And we'll get an update on how that went, how wings and beer went. When you get promoters in a circle in anywhere, there's always a lot of opinions. And we'll get a catch up on anything that's coming down the pipe. Obviously, you know, one of the biggest names out there, Cole Butcher, had an amazing run down at the Snowball Derby.
Yeah.
Tim usually leaks a little bit of information on where, you know, the different teams and drivers are going to be making appearances over the winter, over the off season as well. Like going to New Smyrna for Speed Weeks the various races that come across the timeline, if you will, during the off season. So we'll ask Tim, you know, who's all heading down south, and we'll go from there.
Well, I can guarantee you the wings were awesome and the beer was cold. But the rest of it we'll find out from Timmy tonight. Over the Christmas break, got a message or two from Gary Elliott, the Iron Man from here in Ontario, has since moved out to Canada's East Coast. He now lives in Nova Scotia, out in Truro, Nova Scotia. He's got his things all set up, and his shop is all set up. He was having a bunch of fun with family out there that he hasn't revisited with in years because he was from here in Ontario. But I did get a message and did speak with the Iron Man, the Quaker State guy. He lets me know now, Junior, that he has got his car coming. And that car that he's got coming, brand new piece for Gary, and probably a brand new piece, is one of the 53s of Cole Butcher. He bought his number 53. So Gary going to have an awesome ride this year in that Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's going to be interesting to hear who else is going to join the rookie category in that Parts for Trucks Tour.
It's going to sound weird, Gary Elliott being a rookie.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's going to sound, it's definitely going to sound weird on broadcast number one where you guys have to call him a rookie. But Gary Elliott, we did touch base with Gary about the red problem.
Yeah, the thing's, you know, all red, right?
Everything that the Butchers own is red, I think.
Everything Gary owns is green.
Everything, yeah, it was going to look like the Christmas machine.
And, even buttons, and, I think, is painted
green.
Yeah,
I think, in talking to Gary and in you talking to Gary as well, the red problem is going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different color.
Oh, it will be. And I know the Butcher crew is doing a ton of work on that in preparing it for Gary. That'll be a brand new piece.
Exactly.
You got to know. That's going to be a brand new piece. He is going to be competitive in that. He's going to have to be, put it that way, to compete with those guys out there. You got to have your ducks in a row. I can guarantee you that. Hey, I want to congratulate Ron Fellows. Do you know why I want to congratulate Ron Fellows?
Nope.
He is going to be named to the Order of Canada.
Wow.
Yes, isn't that huge?
That is huge.
And no main media coverage of it yet.
Really?
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Read it on Facebook. Sue actually pulled it up just before the show.
That's wild.
Ron Fellows going to be named to the Order of Canada. I believe he's 100, that thing we were reading, there's like 120 recipients each year. And they usually focus in on, I don't know, if you were Lloyd Robertson or something and you went to the Order of Canada, well, then it'd be all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But not so for Ron Fellows. And that needs to change because Ron Fellows has done, not only in his driving career, forget about his driving career, first guy to win a truck race, first guy to win an Xfinity race, first guy to do this, that, and the other thing. Just forget about his driving accomplishments, which are huge for Canada.
Yep.
But how about what he's done for Canadian racing?
Yeah.
In buying into Mossport, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, him and Carlo Fidani and Miles Brandt and Glenn and like Jerry and all those guys at that racetrack. Look what he's done with the Silverado 250 weekend. The NASCAR Gander Mountain Truck Series now comes to Canada. The same trucks that we see race at Daytona in February are the same guys we're going to have on the track fighting for a championship now at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and we've seen it for 5 years now coming up to the sixth.
Definitely, and when you look at Ron Fellows' career, he obviously, you know, has done so much from the grassroots all the way to the top. You know, the Ron Fellows go-karting, system that has been created, just amazing for grooming young talent. You know, you hear all these names jumping into Canadian Touring Car or you know, the Rolex series now, the WeatherTech, you know, Grand Am series, that came through the ranks in the Ron Fellows go-karting championships. And then as well, you know, just everything that he did on the business relationship side, really, yeah. Like Fortune 500 companies, on Ron Fellows' cars growing up through the ranks, and it was a staple at every road style race, through basically from the 80s all the way through to the early 2000s. So just a wild career for sure.
I personally got to thank him. He's the reason I am a road course fan today. He really, honest to goodness, is the solid reason I am a road course race fan today. I can't point at anybody else. Ron Fellows said to me, yep, you've got to take in a race. And you take in this weekend, and my dad and I actually sat down and watched it. Ron was in the Xfinity race.
Yep.
And it was Road America.
Yep.
And I watched that race, and I'll tell you what, I was standing more than I was sitting.
Yep.
It was that exciting, and I thought, wow, and this takes place in Canada? They're going to come to Canada? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So when Montreal started firing up, I just want another quick memory on that. I remember it was one of those rain races. Ron Fellows won two out of the four, I believe, that ran in Montreal. The Napa races that were the Xfinity or Nationwide series back then. Ronnie was on the racetrack looking like he was going to win again. And a young Justin Allgaier got into him and wrecked him.
Yep.
And, oh, it was devastation. I've seen the whole thing, and I went, oh, what's that Justin Allgaier? What's that kid doing? He wrecked Ron. I can't believe he wrecked him.
Yep.
Anyway, you cut to the end of the race, and they interview Ron Fellows, and I was expecting Ron Fellows to have hair coming or fire coming out of his hair and out of his ears, and he was going to be really typically Canadian mad, right? And nope. Ron Fellows, the relaxed kind of guy that he is, said, well, I don't know. That kind of stuff happens in this game. He said, but what I'm going to suggest is that Justin takes one of my courses. And it's true. It's a true story. Justin Allgaier took a Ron Fellows road course,
yep,
which Ron does down in Nevada,
yep,
in the offseason.
Yep.
And you know what? Justin Allgaier is another name that has won on a road course, and he today continues to be a threat on any road course in that Xfinity series, correct?
Yes, 100%. And a cool story, too, to you know, look back on it, because he was obviously fast enough to get up to him,
you know,
back then. So he had the basics down, but that was a turning point in Justin Allgaier's career on road courses, for sure.
Oh, it was almost
after he took it.
He was almost heading for the moon, I can guarantee you. Ron was pretty relaxed in the interview. But when Ronnie got out of that race car, I bet you he wasn't so relaxed.
That's right.
Linda would have had her work corralling that big boy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Too much. Okay. What
As well, we've got Jeff Trimmie, correct?
No, Jeffrey, not on the show
not
tonight.
On the show tonight.
He is on the lineup, but
he's
no,
lineup.
He
okay.
has got some personal stuff that he's dealing with.
Gotcha.
And we'll catch up with him in a week or two,
yep.
whenever. But
gotcha.
We will get Jeff Trimmie on the show. He is the Ontario Legend Car Series organizer. And we will get Jeff on the show, but not tonight. That World Junior gold medal is still stuck in my head.
Big day.
I am so happy for that. When we come back, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, J.R. Fitzpatrick is going to join us. And just in case you missed it today, I know this song is still reeling in everybody's head.
Coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt-Low, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
I gotta rub it in a little. Just rub it in a little.
Gotta.
Take that, Russia. Take that. 6-0 for beating us. 6-0 in the preliminary. There. We took them to the Woodhouse today.
That's right.
3 minutes we led there in that game. That's about all we needed, though, right?
Crazy game.
Who's got the gold today? Canada.
Yep.
Let's get to the hotline, shall we? I know this next guest would have. He probably would have had his eye on that gold medal game, too. He drives the number 84. beautiful looking race car. This guy's done it all, and he's about to do a whole pile more in 2020. Let's welcome in Mr. J.R. Fitzpatrick. What's going on there, tall guy?
Oh, not too much. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, you too, man. We're Dad, you know, Dad touched on it a little bit. You've done a little bit of everything, but I'm going to start calling you Mr. Haney because you're selling everything. It's like every post that you post is like, hey, Merry Christmas, guys, and then, but I've got this for sale. You know, I've got this for sale, I've got this for sale. What are you selling everything for? You've got everybody talking, JR.
It's wheeling and dealing, my man.
Is that what it is?
Ah, all right. Yeah. It's the wheeling dealing part of the season. Is it? You'll be getting ready to go for another full season, though, I can well imagine.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at last year and kind of, you know, looking at things that we may have, I don't know, went a, got a little carried away on, you know, like I don't really need all these shocks. I don't really need all this stuff that I acquired over the last few years. So I'm kind of just working my way back to using one set of, you know, one setup, one set of tools and et cetera, et cetera. It's just, I just think we grew ourselves too much in the last 2 years.
Still a full-time effort in the APC presented by Crysdale Series, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to go back for another year of APC Tour and see if we cannot improve on last year. I mean, last year was okay. I mean, we finished in top five in points, tied for fourth, which is good, I guess. I mean, a lot of people say that's amazing, and a lot of teams, I'm sure, want to get in the top five this tour because it's wild, man. Like, it's the competition's so tight right now, but for me, it drives me nuts because I had such a good start to the year and had a lot of speed, and then we just lost ourselves somewhere through the summer, and then things just got a little crazy from there.
Well, you picked up, what, one or two wins? Did you win at the beach the one night, or you came damn close, one or the other?
No, I pretty well led the whole race and got snookered on a restart. Got outsmarted by the young boy.
Ah, yeah, but you won at Delaware.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what, a win's a win, definitely, but I'm not very proud of that one because, you know, I'm not joking when I say we were a 13th-place car. Just the car was just very good through the day, and then I expected it to tighten up a bunch, and it just never did. I mean, the car turned phenomenal, just couldn't get the drive off. So that's something I've been fighting with this car. I get it one direction, you know, it turns really well, too free on throttle, or I get tons of drive off, can't get the turn, so been working really hard at trying to find a balance with the car and learning the engine because the Fords are a lot different than the Chevys. And to be truthfully honest, our year at Flamborough Speedway went phenomenal. Like, had a really good run there, had a lot of fun with everybody there. It's just, I do feel that racing that much at my home track, a track I know very well, created a lot of problems for the APC side only because I ended up experimenting way too much and probably screwing myself, so I'm going to back that up a little bit this year.
Not to take anything away from, you know, the top three competitors in APC last year, you know, they had a phenomenal season. But I think that, you know, a takeaway, you know, and I think you'll echo this, but I was really shocked at who was fast last year, who had consistent speed, versus the guys who didn't have consistent speed. And I think you fell into the category of not having consistent speed on the tour last year. And I think that there's a couple names that are also surprises in there. You touched on the experimental portion and how much you experimented. I think that all the listeners will find, if you take a little bit of a deeper dive into that and explain, you know, to the listeners how much experimenting you did, because even when I was there, you know, spotting with you right at the end of the season, you guys had tried like 13 or 14 different, like, complete variation setups.
Yeah, and that's no lie. Like, a lot of people say, oh, we're trying something different this weekend, and they're only trying, like, some stagger stuff, but I mean, every time we went to Flamborough specifically, we were there with different springs, different shock settings, sway bar load, bump springs, trailing arm stuff, whether it's the wraparound or underneath or the upper link. Like, there's so many variables in these cars now. So we're going with something different every time, and that's why I stopped running the 14 car, because I'd offload that thing at Flamborough and spank everybody. Like, no word of a lie, that thing was an absolute rocket at the beginning of the year. So it's like, why do I keep going with that car when right now my APC car is hurting? So we kept working and working, and like, perfect example, I won the last night at Flamborough, where it was probably the best car I had all year at Flamborough. Like, if that was car I ran APC, I know I would have won it. Car was phenomenal. So instead of leaving it and going after the Grisdale Championship, I came up with a stupid idea of trying to run different trailing arms back, different springs, all that kind of stuff, and go to the Grisdale race, and totally sucked. So it's one of those deals. What do you want to do? Do you want to focus on 2020 and keep learning? Or do you want to win, you know, a three-race tour or a three-race championship or whatever it may be? For some dumb reason, I chose, let's focus on 2020, and that's what we did. So, you know, and to be honest with you, we ended on a really high note because we went to Peterborough and kind of did more of what I did in 2018. Take the theory side of things out and just go by driver feel, and man, I'll tell you, that car is really, really good up there.
We're with J.R. Fitzpatrick tonight here. He is from Ayr, Ontario. We all know J.R. from all the different disciplines of racing that J.R. has provided us with watching over the last 10 years or better. J.R., who do we got to settle down then in 2020? Do we got to settle you down as the driver, or do we got to settle Teddy McAllister down, which is the guy that puts the setups in it?
No, come on now. Ted only shows up on the weekends now. He comes helps me whenever I can. I'm pretty much the, I'm not even going to say brains, because brains are somebody that wins all the time. I'm going to say I'm the dummy that screws everything up every week.
You're the one telling Teddy, okay, here's what I want to do.
Yeah, and you know, again, Flamborough, we won the championship there this year. I think total this year we won 14 out of 23 races we ran or something like that.
Wow, good deal.
So and that's all of them, APC, you know, that's all the races we ran, 23 or 24. So we had a good year, but APC really struggled. So I'm going to step back a little bit from all the extra stuff and focus on testing, focus on the car some more. And I am going to be better next year because I know the areas I got to get better, and where we ended off in Peterborough, I'm feeling really good about it. And I think, you know, I used to laugh every time people said, new car blues, but it's true. It took me this long to get the car to react the way I think it should. So I don't know. I'm excited about 2020, I think, and I just want to get back at it because, you know, it was a disappointing year for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it your first home track championship?
Yeah.
At Flamborough. So, like, obviously you had done and dabbled in home track racing, you know, at Sauble and Delaware and Flamborough and all the different tracks. First full-time, you know, points championship. Obviously you had championships in CASCAR and you know, touring series like OSCAR and that sort of thing. But, that is your first championship at a home track. That's cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I wanted to last year, but we broke the first two or three races, and I knew it wasn't going to be really possible. So coming in 2019, it was kind of the same story, right? Let's just go get our feet wet. Let's get everybody comfortable and have some fun at the beginning of the year before APC starts, and then we start winning everything. We won, like, 5 out of 6 races or something. And it's like, well, I mean, I don't know what to do because I'm already fully committed to Tim Ellis and Brian McDonald and his guys up north. So I call a bunch of people. I called you even. I called you because I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm winning Flamborough by a fair bit, and I have an opportunity at Sauble. So it's like I didn't really know what to do. And 3/4 of the people, including Tim himself, said championships are very hard to come by. You might as well just keep going with that. So I got to thank Tim and Brian, all them, and thanks. Obviously, the Last Vintage boys for filling in there. Triton drove the car, did a good job up Sauble.
Sure did.
It worked out for everybody, I think, and I'm happy I did it. Flamborough has always been a great place to me, and I was happy to finally win a championship there.
JR, you can't see this because of the power of radio, but I got my fingers crossed right now. I want to ask you something. Is there an outside chance? And I know we're not looking for 100% guarantee here. But is there an outside chance we just may see you at the IWK 250 in 2020?
I mean, I've been thinking about it.
Well, that's good. That's a good sign.
I have been thinking about it because it is an amazing event. I had a lot of fun. It's just, I don't know. I'm still a little sensitive about what happened. Just because it's a lot of money to go there. It's probably about 10 grand for us from here. So, I don't know. We're thinking about it because it was a great family vacation. All my crew guys loved it. So, I think we're going to have to just see how we're doing at the beginning of the year and go from there because, like I said, I'm all for racing everything every weekend. Everybody knows me. That's usually what I'm all about. Let's just race everything and anything.
Yeah.
But after last year, I really did notice I took my focus away from APC and put a lot more towards Flamborough, and I don't think that's where I want to be in this stage of my life. I want to be the first two-time APC champ, and that's going to be really hard to do, but I know I can do it. My crew guys can do it, and it's just really tough, man. You know, you're going against, you know, McCall Enterprises and his group there. They got some really strong stuff, and they fielded, I mean, what, the last, out of four championships, they fielded two of them that won them. So it's going to be tough to do, but we can do it.
I just want to put a period on one thing here and just give you, as you contemplate IWK 250, I'm just going to say a couple of things here. I'm going to say Stephen Nassy will probably be at the next Snow Derby.
Snowball Derby?
Snowball. I'm trying to get the word out of my head.
Snowball Derby.
The Snowball Derby. Stephen Nassy will return to that race in 2020, I predict. And look what happened to him this year. That's a big win, and it got to take it away. The other thing I'm going to say to it is good old Cassius was disqualified in that very race that you were in, JR. He came back last year, and he kicked their ass. Trust me, he did. He made the field look embarrassed, which he will not do in 2020, I don't believe.
Well, it's one of those deals. You never know. Everything changes so much in one year.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to go back. I have two pro stock starts, and I have a win and a fifth. So, I mean, I've had good success out there. At the IWK last time, it was really hard because we took our own car and then we were so far behind the first day.
Yeah.
But that's what made it better, you know, is we made that car better on our own and it was a lot of fun. I sure did enjoy it.
Now, let's add these up. You help me along here. I'm going to say J.R. Fitzpatrick, the 2006 CASCAR Super Series champion in the Milwaukee car, Canada's youngest national champion, I might add, and you'll never hear that from the guys at NASCAR that have the Pindy Series today, which is the same series, JR, that you did championship in, so everybody is straight on that. You are an APC champion, you're an Oscar champion, you're a Flamborough Speedway champion. What am I missing?
I mean, I owned a Super Stock that won two championships, but that's about it. That's all I've done there.
That's quite a bit.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things, right? Like, people forget that I missed a lot of the racing stages. Like, I didn't come from go-karts, go to mini-stocks, thunder cars, to late models for a long period of time.
I went junior late model to a NASCAR.
Yeah, like I went from a junior late model. I was testing those cast cars, which is a NASCAR Pinty's car, same thing, when I was 12 to 13. Like at Peterborough, Kawartha, when Don would drive, I'd get in the backup car, go third gear, and work my way up to fourth and blah, blah, blah. And then I made traditionally like two or three late model starts a year. So I missed a lot, and I feel that's why when I started doing the cast car stuff, I wanted to go thunder car racing. I wanted to do mini stock stuff because I missed a lot of it, and I created a lot of friendships by going back and doing that kind of stuff. And the way I see it, racing doesn't matter if you're in NASCAR or Pinty's or APC or whatever. You're not downgrading by going to race a mini stock or race a thunder car or pure stock or whatever the lower entry level may be, because you still have to try and beat the best of that division. So that's what I always liked. I like the challenge of getting in a thunder car and trying to go to Flamborough and beat, you know, Randy Ruffnell or Brad Collison or even Kevin Gallant at the time. Like, those boys were hard to beat back then. And you know what? Eventually we did it, but it took quite some time. So that's what I always enjoyed about trying different classes and series and, it's a challenge because you're trying to beat the best of the best. And two, it gave me a feel on a race car that maybe not a lot of people have, because I've done dirt, go-karts, modifieds. There's a lot I've done, and you know, maybe this summer I can knock a few things more off my list, but I'm very focused and determined on this APC thing, and I think I'm really just going to focus on it, because last year didn't really go the way I wanted. Yeah, we finished fourth in points. We won a race. We had some good finishes, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of things didn't go my way. I regret quite a few things. I don't like that I got spun out for a win. Like, there's just a lot of things I don't like that went on, and I'm older, and I thought I handled a lot of it better. I wish I didn't really wreck the three car, because it cost that team a lot of money to fix their car. But at the end of the day, not just him, but anybody who keeps, like in CASCAR, we learned a lot about respect. You're at their quarter panel, you're there. We have spotters. You're there. So if you're getting chopped, you're getting put in the wall, you're getting spun out, like, eventually these guys got to learn, and I don't want to be the guy that's got to show them that I'm going to teach them a freaking lesson if they keep doing it. But last year was a little rougher than I'd like to be a part of, but 2020 is a fresh start, and that's just all I can say about that.
I think there's definitely, you know, merit to that, you know, point. The APC series is still young, and there's still a lot of youth in the series. I had a really cool conversation with a guy just on the weekend, actually, just on Friday night, and talking about that very thing. And I said there's 25 cars that can win the race there, but there's only about 15 drivers that can keep up with their cars. Right. And not necessarily keep up with their cars, but that understand the full fundamentals of it. Right. And as the APC series gets more in depth, when you look at the Pro Stock Tour, they all race each other with a tremendous amount of respect. Now they rough each other up, and there's guys that leave the racetrack mad still, but they race each other, you know, with a tremendous amount of respect. And you know, the APC series throughout last year, there was only one or two races where you can say that same thing, you know, where the whole field raced each other with respect. And I think it came to a culmination at Delaware Speedway, you know, at the end of the year, where, you know, we seen it play out live and in person what happens when you don't race with respect. I think that Delaware, you know, that event last year opened a lot of people's eyes, and I wouldn't doubt that heading into 2020, there's going to be a tremendous amount more respect on the racetrack, just from that event alone.
Well, and you know what? Let's just say this: it's not the ABC Tour's fault.
Absolutely not. No,
it's not the officials. Not Flagman. It's not our president. It's not the tech guy. It's none of them. It's the drivers themselves.
Yep.
If you're going down the straightaway and you're at their door and they are still coming down, or they go up and put you in the fence, or, you know, it really drives me nuts, because the racing I grew up with in CASCAR, I can say CASCAR because that's where I started, but Pete Gibbons, Kerry Mix, Mark Dilley, Dave Whitlock, Don Thompson, Ronnie Beauchamp, DJ Kennington, Steve Robley, you know, there's a ton of names there that if you didn't respect them, you're lucky they didn't grab you by the throat, or Mixy, he just keep wrecking you until you learn.
I was just going to say, when you said respect, I was going to ask you, did you get your Christmas card yet from Kerry Mix this year?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
To be truthfully honest, later in the going, like outside of racing now, like Kerry, I think semi-retired, I don't know, him and I respect each other a lot. We got into it a lot.
You don't race side by side anymore.
Exactly. But I think that's why we probably respect each other a little more.
Would tend to agree with that statement, JR.
In terms of the APC thing, I feel there's a lot of really good race car drivers that can wheel a race car. 100%. Yeah. This is just my own opinion. People are not going to like it, but it's true. A lot of them can wheel a race car, but there's still a lot of them that need to learn how to race. That's the difference.
Well, and we're going to find out who's learned what over the offseason heading into 2020. Final thing I've got for you, congratulations from all of us. Sounds like you could be expecting again.
Yeah, Laura and I are expecting another little girl. She'll be here probably end of February or middle March.
awesome stuff, Daddy. Oh, way to go.
Yeah, it was. It'll be good. We're growing as a family, but this is it. No more. Two kids. That's it.
Well, you got a side-by-side that a lot more could fit in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a – I got a Laura and Amze side-by-side so we can go trail riding because one thing I've been starting to do is do a little more dirt biking like I used to back in my younger days. And it's kind of my thing to get away from the racing, you know. It's just kind of go relax, and it's a good workout, and I can spend some time with my buddy Stretch and kind of get away from it all because – you know what? Racing is my life, and it really takes over sometimes. And sometimes it's literally nice just to get away from it all and just do something totally different. So the dirt biking and the racing and the two children is going to be a busy 2020.
Two children, Stretch getting married. Oh, my God. You got a busy 2020 coming at you, and we'll see you at the IWK 250. Right, bud? I had to slide that in.
We're working on it. We're thinking about it.
Okay. JR, we'll catch up with you again before the green flag goes in the air. I can guarantee it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You betcha. That's JR Fitzpatrick, one that you just have to keep your eyes peeled for. Sounds like he's going to go after championship number 2 in the APC series. Man, is that a statement? And man, has he got his work cut out for him. Quick break. We'll be back.
Hi, race fans. This is Xander Grizel, driver of the number 81 Sauble Falls, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam. Oh, Saber Baron, he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
I got to keep it. Sorry. I had to do that. Congratulations, Canada. Gold medal today in Czechoslovakia for our juniors. And what a game. If you missed that one, you got to get to TSN and watch it. It is dynamite.
It was a great game.
Yes.
It was phenomenal. But I will say that you should have played the penalty song.
Well, I don't have that one.
I know.
I don't think anybody does.
I know.
That was hilarious. That was a dum-dum-dum. It was like Romper Room.
It was. It was, for sure. Yeah, it was a good time.
It was. It was a great tournament. It was something that if you do not watch the World Juniors and you're a Canadian, I'll tell you what, you're missing out. Even the Americans. You know, I was lucky enough, Junior. 2 years ago, you bought myself and my brother-in-law, Dwayne, tickets to the gold medal game and bronze tickets to the bronze medal game in Buffalo.
Yep.
And we got them Christmas Day. which the tournament didn't start until Boxing Day. Now, it could have been a real flub, and Canada could have got put out early, and it would have been the U.S. that was in there going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We had to take our chances. We got the tickets free from you. Thank you. And all we could do was have our fingers crossed. And I'll tell you what, there was a lot of ground pounding, a lot of chair pounding, a lot of yee-haw when Canada would score a goal and pull it out of the fire.
Yep.
And lo and behold, it was going to be Canada-Sweden in the gold medal game. And
sure.
At that point, I knew for sure Morgie and I were going to be in my truck going to Buffalo. The only thing I was kicking my rear end was that you weren't with us. But you were with us in my hand, and I know you were back here watching it, but I'll tell you what. You want to talk about an experience, everybody? You be at one of those gold medal games with Canada in it. And I'll tell you what, that could have went either way today.
Oh, yeah.
But as it turns, Canada gets their 18th gold medal out of 30-some-odd years.
Yep.
You can't argue with that success. It isn't going to be every single time.
Well, if it was, it would be boring.
If it was, it would be boring.
That's
and
right.
Be very predictable.
Yep.
This was anything but predictable.
Yep.
This was, I'll tell you what, a lot of prayers were answered today.
Exactly.
That team, that young team that they, you know, they throw together, and it's guys from all over Canada.
Yep.
Bay Roberts, Newfoundland. Mercer was from there.
Yep. Owen Sound, Ontario.
Owen Sound. Yeah. There was Thomas, I believe he was Scarborough and Newmarket. All the way out to BC and all the way up to Yellowknife. There was a guy, or was it Yellowknife or was it Whitehorse up in the Yukon?
Whitehorse.
Whitehorse?
Yep.
Yeah. Right across Canada. These kids all ascend. Hunter did an amazing job, him and his brother, taking these group of kids and forming a team in a very, very short period of time. And you know what? There's one thing that you cannot emulate or translate, and that is chemistry. You can't do it. You can hope and pray that you can put it together. It's no different than us on a short track. And you know, you put a team together, and it could be a dream team. I've seen lots of dream teams show up at a racetrack, and you think, oh, man, this is going to be a shoe-in. This guy's going to win this race. And by lap five, they're sitting on the infield on top of the box watching the race.
Yep.
I've seen it happen.
Yep, yep.
You cannot buy chemistry. You can work on it, but I'll tell you what, when chemistry happens, it is magic.
Oh, yeah.
It is magic, and it was magic for Canada again today down in the Czech Republic. Next year's tournament is going to be in Alberta. It'll be in Edmonton and Red Deer. I'm got my fingers crossed. I've already signed up. I want to get tickets. My brother lives in Island Lake, and my sister, she lives out in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Yep.
We're going to go. If I'm still on this planet, we are going.
For sure.
Yeah, it'll be out of this world. To get an opportunity to go see that again would be really, really cool.
For sure.
I want to tell you who else we got coming up on the show, and we're getting close to the top, where we're going to throw it back to Toronto. I've got a quick news highlight package for you that is going to run. It gets you up to date. There is a lot of worldly things transpiring right now that are kind of scary.
Yeah.
So we'll have more on that at the top, and it's a 90-second update, and then, Junior, you and I are back for hour two tonight right here on Canada Talks and on racetimeradio.com. Let me tell you who we got coming up. The Western Speed Association, super late model, number 17. He's a first-time guest. His first name is Aaron. I may be butchering his last name, but we will get it straight. First-time guest. I'm going to call him Deegan. Deegan, and I could be dead wrong on that, but we've got Aaron coming up. He's going to be the first up after the quick news break. Then we're going to grab Aaron and get him on the hotline. Then we're going to go back to Ontario. We're going to go and talk to a veteran of this sport. He's not in a race car anymore, but he spent a lot of time behind the wheel of a race car. You heard his name. J.R. Fitzpatrick talked about him. And a lot of everybody will know him. His name, Steve Robley. He is one of those treasures, national treasures of this sport. And we're going to get him on the show. We're going to talk about yesterday. And we're going to talk about tomorrow. And Steve Robley can do both ends of that, Junior, can't he?
He can. And when you look back, it was interesting that JR said his name.
Yeah.
You know, in
yeah,
the
yeah.
list of greats, right? It's just the way that it is. But I'm really looking forward to catching up with Steve Robley. I seen him, you know, probably 9 months ago or even
oh, yeah.
a little bit
That's
further.
Right, too. You told me.
You know,
about
ran
that.
Into him at a restaurant in Goderich, Ontario. Really haven't seen him. At all, haven't talked to him at all. We've seen Matt, and you know the progression that Matt Robley has had, you know, at Delaware Speedway over the 2019 season. But it'll be cool to catch up with him and just get a feel for what's going on, and you know, catch up and. You know, talking to a guy like that who has invested everything in the sport,
yeah.
not money, time and
money
and money
yep.
and every resource that you can possibly, you know,
ask
pour
for.
Into the sport.
Yep.
You know, it's always cool to get a feel for what they think is happening within the sport.
Yes.
And you know, they obviously guys like that.
They love
you know,
it.
And it's almost more than love, right? It's
yeah.
it's almost more than a love of the sport. It's they are the sport, and you know it's they always have their finger on the pulse, and we'll catch up and see what he thinks is happening.
And speaking of finger on the pulse, Tim Terry from timscorner.ca, Tim, out in Truro, Nova Scotia. Always reports on everything Maritimes. He's been as far away as Newfoundland and does everything on the mainland. He's even come to Ontario a couple times. Ventures down south, helps Pit Row TV. He does a bunch of Legends television. He does iRacing announcing. He does a little bit of everything. We're going to catch up with Tim Terry tonight on the show as well. So we got a busy hour number two coming up. But we are going to throw it back to Toronto here shortly. In 90 seconds, we'll get you up to date on all the news you need to know about. And then hour number two will be here on Racetime Radio. And we surely do appreciate everybody tuning in. I just want to let you know one thing before I throw it back to T.O. We are having a little bit of difficulty with our live stream. If you've got an iPhone, iPad, Mac, you're listening to the show, no problem whatsoever. If you're trying to do it on a PC or an Android, you're scooped. You can't listen to the radio show. You have to get it on demand. Or, hey, of course, SiriusXM is where you would find Racetime Radio, as you have for a number of years.
Yep.
But I want to let you know that we are working on that problem, and the pros are back in the office come Monday. We secured our site. If you look at racetimeradio.com, you'll see a little secure mark now with a little check. And that little check mark and the little lock on it means that we're a secure site. I looked at that a couple of months ago and said, hey, our site's unsecure. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Is that deterring people from coming to Racetime Radio? So I went to the hip and got an SSL and didn't know what that was. And anyway, got it all locked up. And when we did that, we lost half our stream. So I've got the people working on it. We will have it resumed next week. And then we'll be able to service everybody once again. So our apologies if you happen to be missing us online. Always count on SiriusXM, Channel 167. Canada Talks, you can never go wrong. We're going to throw it back to you, Scotty, in Toronto. Make us all a little bit smarter here. Don't take long. We got to be back here because we got a lot of guests coming up in hour number two tonight on our comeback show for 2020. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins here tonight on Race Time Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in here tonight. What do you say we get back to the hotline and let's welcome in our next guest? I believe it's Aaron Degnan. Did I get it right, Aaron?
We nailed it.
Oh, hey, I better Aaron up. We go. How you doing, Aaron?
We were butchering your last name, bud, the entire portion of the show at the beginning.
Don't worry about that.
So I've got it correct. It's Aaron
Degnan, yes.
Yeah, look
at
that.
The A and the E, and it's perfect.
Number 17, Eric Degnan. Hey, so you're getting all ready to go for 2020. You're going to be driving Robbie's car, the 17 car.
That is correct. Yeah, we're going to be running for Rad Racing and Development this year, so pretty excited about that.
Ah, you're going to go up against that like Trent Seidel kind of guys, and let me think here, the number 14. I had his name too, Glenn Hertzky.
Well, Hertzky actually retired a couple years back.
Oh, did he?
There's a whole bunch of new fast guys that kind of took his place. So there's still Trent and Jim. We have Matthew Shirley and a whole bunch of other fast young guys coming up. So it's a pretty stacked field this year.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Matt Shirley. We've even had Matt on the show. He is a young rocket, isn't he? It feels kind of good when you can get on the track with those guys.
Yeah, I've actually ridden Matt previous years and Kevin Dick and a whole bunch of those other guys through other series and other racing platforms. So this is the first time going head-to-head with those guys, but really excited to get back on the track and 2020 started.
Well, I got a chance to see Kevin Dick actually at Jukasa at the summer
short track nationals.
Don't
feel
Trent,
bad. Happens
Trent
to me
came
too.
Out, Trent came out as well. Trent didn't have a great outing because he backed her in the fence pretty hard. But really, you know, there was lots of competition from that Saskatoon area, and as well during the the NASCAR Pinty's race out there, the super late models were on the card the night of the Pinty's race when we were there. Were you on track last year in super lates or no?
Yeah, we actually ran one race at the end of the year for our Wyand Group Raceway. So we did hit the track once last year. Rob ran once last year. But it was kind of a shortened season. There was a whole bunch of like personal stuff going on with the team. So we kind of thought, you know what, this is a good year to take a step back, really reel everything in expectation-wise, and let's go hard for 2020.
Now, that doesn't affect your rookie status, right? Will you be a rookie in the series?
I actually won't be. This is my, I guess, second outing. We did it on our own car, so we won the Pro Truck Championship against Kevin Dick, actually, in 2014. And then we went up super late here in Saskatoon and then took a hiatus, you know, started a business, did stuff like that. So it kind of took a back seat, and then it just worked out to get hooked up with Rob. And then we've been on the team for 2.5 years, and he's like, hey, do you want a chance to drive the car again? And you know, how do you say no to that?
Music to your ears, right, Aaron?
Oh, it was pretty much. Yeah, it was a great opportunity, and really thankful to get hooked back up with Rob. So it was kind of a perfect fit and the perfect timing to get back into it.
So where is hometown for you? Whereabouts are you actually from?
I'm actually from Saskatoon as well.
All right, so that's home for you. How about sponsorship on that 17 car? How is it coming? Have you got everybody sealed up? Or are you still working on some?
Still working. Definitely the economy out here is doing up and down. So we're still working on stuff, still getting ready to make some big announcements for 2020. I'm really excited to see some new look on the car as well. So it's actually the chassis that's sandblasted right now. We're going to paint a different color. You know, whole body's getting a different color, so we're going to have a whole different looking car for 2020 and a whole facelift. So I'm really excited, and 2020 is going to be a great year.
any history on that chassis that you're going to be jumping your butt into? You got any history on it, or is it a new piece? Where is it from?
Yes, this is actually quite an old chassis. So this is like an old Jim Gaunt chassis from way back in the day, like 2003, 2004. It's actually at Fort City. We equipped it thanks to all the good guys at Van Doren Racing. Those guys are awesome. So whole front clips, all Van Doren stuff. And it's been Van Doren for, let me think here, 2.5, 3 years. Rob won a couple local late model championships with it. So it's a pretty good piece.
That's awesome. You can't go wrong with Johnny and those guys. They know what they're doing, right?
Oh, well, Johnny and Butch have been great. Those guys, any questions you have, they're awesome. And, I mean, they get you what you need, especially here in Canada. It's really tricky, always shipping stuff back and forth. So it's always nice to get what you need the first time and not have any issues. And those guys are pretty darn good at what they do, too.
Absolutely. Are there any local builders in the Saskatoon area that build the race cars out there? I know, like, being out there, there was a lot of Van Doren involvement at Saskatoon. Like,
right.
there's a tremendous amount. But is there a local builder or close by, like Saskatoon or in Saskatchewan itself?
No, sadly not. Like, I mean, there is a whole bunch of people that do build their own stuff, but not...
Yep.
At the late model level, like personally, myself and my dad and a couple other of our pit crew who built our pro truck, we built it from the ground up and then ended up winning a championship 2 years down the road. So that was pretty darn cool. But other than like in some of like the support classes, there really isn't many people going hardcore, you know, doing all the chassis building for late models. It's more doing the clips and stuff like that, repairs.
For sure.
Not a full-on chassis build.
Gotcha. Looking at the landscape, obviously, you know, as a racer, you've got to, you know, kind of know who you're racing and what you're racing up against. What's the landscape look like? I know that, you know, over the past, I'm going to say 5 to 7 years, it's been building at Saskatoon, and it's been, you know, steadily increasing. What's the car count going to look like that you're hearing? What's the overall landscape and excitement level going into the season? Obviously, you're excited for your own season, but you know, as the racetrack, at the racetrack, what's it going to look like for race number one next year?
So they're shooting for, I think, 25 cars.
Wow.
For race number one. So, you know, last year was kind of up and down. There was anywhere from 19 to 27. So it's pretty good fields, but I know there's a couple guys building new cars. The Admirals didn't come out very much with their brand new Van Doren. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, there's lots of really good pieces, and there's a lot of really talented drivers down here, too. So it's hard going. Everyone, it's their same home track, and they race on it the same amount of time. So everyone gets pretty much the same shot. It's really just who has the luck and the long run setup to win these races.
He's Aaron Dudgeon. He is out
what?
In Aaron. Dudgeon.
Aaron Dudgeon. No, Dagnan.
Dagnan. Okay, look
we
at,
just said
look
it.
At, I know.
We
I
just
know,
said it.
I know, but I had a hard time going snowball derby, didn't I? It's after the holiday. I did it again, Aaron. You know what? You're going to be famous because you're going to say, Chisholm destroyed your name so many times.
But no, it's all good. I get it every day. Don't
well,
worry.
No, you got to tell them, though, but old Joe's getting old. Old Joe's
right,
getting too
right.
old, right? I'll just stick to Aaron in the 17. You're doing
Pardon?
Good. I'm just going to stick to Aaron in the 17 out at Wynick Group Speedway.
That works for me.
Yeah, that'll be good. when you look at the season you got coming up, who are you going to have as a crew? Have you guys got all your guys put together in the shop working on that 17 machine?
Oh, yeah. We have a really small pit crew, but very, very fast, a lot of depth. You know, Rob, Doug, Tom. All those guys have been working on race cars for probably longer than I've been alive. So it's pretty crazy to have the amount of depth that we do. And honestly, all the guys we have are really, really, really good. So that's the nice thing. Keep everything in-house as most we can. And honestly, everybody just works their tails off to make sure that race car is pretty much the tip-top shape it can be.
Are we going to see any traveling out of the 17 car in 2020?
I can't really say yet. But there definitely was talk about it.
Cool.
Yeah, well, hey, Cameron Haley, either get your buck back in a car or this guy's going to, he's just going to top you. That's what's going to happen, right?
Well, it's kind of funny you mention that name. So actually, we race remote control cars, and I've talked to Cameron at 6 or 7 different events, and he's really itching to get back behind the wheel.
Man, I tell you what, that the RC car racing world is you know, I'm just stumbling upon it now, you know, and just seeing it. You know, just kind of in passing with guys that I know that are racing in it. But, like, the spotter for the 21 car, little mini Schauler.
Mini Schauler.
Schauler races.
That's not as bad as what I do to Aaron.
No, I call him mini Schauler.
Mini
but,
Schauler.
But anyways, okay. he races here in Ontario. And Donovan Price, the 96 Super Stock. Yeah, races. He's got a whole fleet of them. And then all the pictures and posts that that Cameron, of course, posts, you know, he's got a whole fleet of them, too. Talk a little bit about that, Aaron, about the RC racing world. Where do you guys do it? Like, what's it all about?
How fast do they go?
It's kind of a loaded question, but, yeah, no, a lot of people really don't know how crazy and how big that community actually is. So, you know, with Canada being as wide as it is, I mean, we travel all the way to Chilliwack, BC every year, two or three times a year, just to play with toy cars. So
that's
it's pretty
cool.
Crazy, and I mean, they can go anywhere from 30 miles an hour all the way up to about 150 miles an hour, depending on what you want. So it's honestly pretty in-depth, just like full-size racing, and the competition level pretty much is stout. So it's pretty crazy, and you get a whole bunch of different backgrounds, Supercross guys, you know, guys like Cameron Haley and people that run actual NASCAR. And it's kind of cool to see all the different walks of life that still love racing. But, you know, circumstances or whatever else happens. So they kind of fall back on that. And it's just as much fun, but way less money.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like it, too.
I wouldn't doubt way less money. Way less money. We're working on a program at Sauble Beach that everybody's going to hear about at some point. That is going to cost a whole lot less money. May not be for everybody, but a great entry-level idea. We're going to do a timing thing. That's going to work out really good, I'm sure of it. But I hear you. This sport, it can eat you alive. If you get in too deep, you'll find out real quick. So you got to be in the right place at the right time. And it sounds, Aaron, like you guys have got a great deal put together for 17 or for in the 17 for 2020. And Wynn Group Speedways, where you guys are going to compete. It's going to be the full season, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're planning on doing, I think there's five WSA races for the Western Speedway Association, which are 150 lap races, and there's going to be one memorial race that I do believe is about 50 or 75 laps. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of a shortened season, but we'll see kind of how the schedule works out and how the money coming in looks.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could do one of those live on Racetime Radio?
That would be a whole heck of a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, it sure would be. A Maritime Pro Stock Tour bunch. I'd like to get some APC shows in there, and that Western Speed Association. I'll tell you what, I've been to that speedway. I've been to it a couple of times. I love that speedway that you guys run at. And I know back in the day I was really pushing on Herm back when he was the president. We almost had a deal put together. You never know. Maybe we have one can be put together.
Hey, well, I mean, we had that Jocasa race, and Trent Seidel ended up winning that and getting a direct entry into the Jocasa. So the big race there. And, I mean, he just had really terrible luck.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
I mean, he did really, really good here, and the Admirals did always do really well here. Matthew and Kevin, they're always super fast. So for all those guys to make the trek down there and, you know, show really well for Saskatoon, I mean, you are racing against the Global Pollards and all those guys, too, that have some wicked talent and some really, really good equipment. So for them even to make the show is pretty phenomenal, and, I mean, it just goes to show the amount of talent we do have down here as well.
I agree wholeheartedly. We get a sponsor lined up, and I'll tell you what, the Racetime Radio broadcast crew will be there, and we'll let Canada know and everywhere else know exactly what you guys are doing to compete out in Saskatoon. This has been great, Aaron. We really appreciate your time tonight, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
We will check in with you again through the off season before we get that green flag in the air. Sound good?
For sure, sounds great. Just check out Rad Racing Development on Facebook, and we're always posting stuff up there.
You want to believe it? We'll be doing it. We will be back in just a couple of shakes here. When we come back, we got Steve Robley going to join this show. Stay with us.
Oh, no. I know. It goes asphalt's racing on dirt, you're planting potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
Hi, race fans. This is Dave Dykstra, sprint driver of the 5B CorPac Oshwegan Sprint, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat that sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Think twice, because it's another day.
We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. First show of 2020, and we're so excited to get our next guest up here. We got Steve Robley on the hotline. What's going on there, Mr. Steve Robley? I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you doing, buddy?
A very long time. I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Got to thank Dave Alexander. He saved the day because I knew that, Steve Robley, you had won a ton. But I didn't have the stats in front of me, so I couldn't really sort of pinpoint stuff.
Yeah, well,
but,
Dave would have that. That's his specialty.
Oh, now I've got it in my hand. 2007 champion. There's three names you need to remember for 2007. One of them is Steve Robley. You won the majority of races. Mike Kerniak won a couple, and Josh Wood won one.
Really?
But other than that, you won the rest there, buddy.
Cool.
Yeah, and champion.
Yeah, those were fond memories, I'll tell you. That was a good series when it first started up. It was a place for all those cast cars to go and race across the country. It was well set up.
Well, and then in 2008, I guess you felt bad because you took all the cookies from everybody in 2007. Then the championship year, you sort of stepped aside a little bit for the title, and you gave that one to Sean McGlynn. That has one. I don't know. He's got to have five of them on here. Steve, you still won races. Wasn't like you weren't a race winner. I could see three wins in 2008. That was a good year, too.
It was. It just seems like a long time ago now, but it was not that far back, looking back.
Looking back on the progression, Steve, obviously there was a time where you were running, you know, a couple nights a week because you would run Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup for Sportsman, then you kind of stepped away in the direction of late model racing at Delaware Speedway. Talk a little bit about that progression and kind of getting into late models, because that's basically where you ended your career, was in a perimeter style late model at Delaware.
Yeah, it was. That's kind of how the progression of racing went here in Ontario and Delaware in particular. So we followed suit with that. I really did enjoy the late model racing at the end. It was something new and something different and really fast. So it was exciting for me.
You know, when I would show up at the Great Canadian 200, I'd come down to cover it. And Steve Robley, you were in the field, or Matt was in the field. You guys, along with 33 of your closest friends, really, in the field. You guys always seem to play right up there. I know Andrew Grizzell won a Great Canadian race one time. I want to say that Jesse Kennedy won one of the years I was there. It was always one of those race events that I could not wait to get to at Delaware. And when we were going through the photos the other day, when I said to Sue, hey, we got Steve Robley coming on, Sue goes, oh, I think I got a picture of Steve somewhere. And away into the archives, Susie dove into it. She started flipping around. And sure enough, we had a couple. You were in the race because your fire suit was just soaked. We didn't use that photo. But it was, nevertheless, you were in that race. A lot of those great Canadian races were huge.
They were huge. That was the premier event in Canada, really. If you could nail that baby down, that was the goal. And we did a lot of testing, a lot of practicing, lots of research. Just running at Delaware so much really helped us in that event.
Now, another defining moment of your career that I want to point at, not everybody and only a very, very few people in the world can say that Kyle Busch drove their car to Victory Lane. But you can say that, can't you? Kyle Busch did come into town. He came in twice. He didn't fare out good once. He broke a shock and ended the race a little early.
Yeah.
But the other one, man, he laid a spanking on everybody. What was that experience like working with Kyle Busch?
It was really cool, actually. I think it's the first time I ever stepped out of my car and someone else drove it. So it's really exciting. And, of course, it's Kyle Busch. What really impressed me was he'd never been to the Speedway before. He gets in our car. He goes down the back straightaway, just goes through the gearbox. In three laps, he's running the same times that I can. I've run there for forever, it seems like. And, you know, he just brought the car in. He said, it's pretty good. He says, but I think we can work on it. So he put his little bit of magic into it, and he really had a great car that day. And I knew if he didn't hit anything or anyone didn't hit him, he was going to win that race. He was awesome to work with.
The thing that kind of jumps out at me, you know, just kind of going down memory lane here, we were all pulling into the racetrack. It was the same day as the race. It was a Wednesday night, right? Was it a Wednesday or Thursday night?
Wednesday night.
So we show up, you know, the Sauble Falls team, we would always roll in the you know, into the back gate and wait for the gates to open. We were always, you know, either first or second in line because the 72 car was always there, you know. And you know, we heard him out on the racetrack, and we never walked up to the racetrack before, you know, from down there. But we heard him out on the racetrack, and we were like, man, well, let's just go take a look, right? And we walked up there, and there was probably five or six teams, you know, just kind of standing up top watching him. And he would pull out on the racetrack, and of course, Robley's car is identifiable. It was a bright red car, and it was a gorgeous piece. And, you know, he rolled out on the racetrack, and he would do, like, a lap. So he wouldn't even do, like, a full lap. He'd come out of the pits, and he'd go around, you know, three and four hard, and he'd go down the front stretch, and he'd drive it into one and two, and then he'd kill it and come in. And he did that like two or three times, and he was making small adjustments, and really
it was incredible. He just wanted to fine tune the entry. He just wanted to get the bottom of the car in the bottom of the track. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he was working on.
Yeah, and you know we were standing up top, and as teams kind of you know wandered in, we were all kind of standing together, and really. Delaware Speedway is obviously one of the bumpiest tracks, and it was super bumpy before they, you know, did the renovations down in 3 and 4. But we had never seen a late model, you know, on bump springs, you know, or on, like, a full coil bind before.
Right, right.
You would see it once in a while, but it was never a fast guy. And, like, the car would never, you know, chatter at all. Like, you just see the valance, you know, maybe bottom out a couple times
touch
or whatever. Just touch a bit. But that car was hopping all over the place. And he had it, he had it completely down in full coil bind across the front. And you know, it made everybody's eyes open up. And we're like, wow, what is happening? Like, because he was out there.
Kyle Busch'd.
I mean, he's out there fooling around, and like we were turning, you know, 19-second laps. You know, that was a decent lap around Delaware. Yeah. If you got into the 18s, you were flying, and it would be like an 18.98. And he goes out there, and we got stopwatches out, of course, you know, kind of before our monitor. But he's out there, and the one lap, Gressel, he's playing with the stopwatch, and it was an 18.6. And he looks at it, and he shows me the stopwatch, and I remember the look on his face. It's like he just found out that Santa Claus wasn't real. Like he was completely dumbfounded, you know? And yeah. And it was just the most impressive performance.
Looks
and,
like we're not winning tonight, Chisholm.
You guys had a lot of fun, I can guarantee it. I could see the smile on the entire team's face. Just how, you know, excited the entire Robley camp was. Because you guys were the team. You know, at that point in time, the Robley team, when they showed up, and the Lindsay team, when they showed up, had an equal team. And when Ron Sheridan showed up, he had an equal team as well. But the Robley team, when they would show up with that yellow, what was it, a Volvo truck?
Yeah, we had the hauler, the mighty yellow hauler there.
Yeah, it was a Volvo, you know, 18-wheeler truck.
Yeah.
And, you know, a big, long gooseneck. And when that thing showed up, everybody knew that the race was on.
Steve, did you learn much from Kyle Busch that one night?
We did. The thing I learned the most, I think, was how good he was. Like, you know, we race with all these people around here, and you watch Kyle Busch on TV, and then when you meet him in person and you see what he can do with a car, it's just how incredibly good he was. And what else was so impressive is how he treated us. He treated us like equals. He talked to us. He shared everything that he knew and he brought to the track with us. It was an open book for everyone. It was really, really a fun day.
That's cool, isn't it? Have you ever been back in touch with Mr. Kyle?
Well, he drove the car the second year as well.
Yes, right.
That's all the contact I've ever had with him. We've followed him since, so of course we love him.
Well, you got typical racers too, right? On to the next race.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you Kyle will never, ever forget you, Steve Robley, or Matt. You guys probably treated him like gold. I can remember that day specifically. I was in there for that test, and I seen Kyle going out and going back and forth, and he would get out of the car, and he'd come over, and you guys would do some stuff, and he would do some stuff. And
yeah, he's a hands-on guy, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't point the finger. He's let me at it.
Yeah, that's right. He was under the hood just as much. He came over to the wall. I said, Kyle, can I just get a quick word? He said, later. Later.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kyle Busch, bless his heart, I have interviewed Kyle Busch a ton of times, whether it be at Delaware, Daytona, or the different tracks we've been to. Kyle Busch has really never, ever said no to an interview on Racetime Radio. He has had to push me back and say, Joe, later.
Yeah.
I'm busy right now. Come back later. And you know what? He's always done the interview. But that day, I remember sitting there with Justin Lofton. Jason Lofton?
Jason Leffler.
Jason Leffler, sitting on the wall with him. Who else was there? Michael Waltrip was there that day, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a trio of them the one year, and then I think, I kind of forget, actually, was so involved with Kyle, I didn't really look around much, I don't think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Incredible.
Reflecting back, Steve, obviously that's got to be a highlight in the highlight reel of an awesome career. But do you have a favorite memory in racing?
Well, I was thinking about it before you guys called, actually, and I feel like I got three eras to my career. When I first started out, I had my own car, family operation, something like me and Matt are in now, friends, my father, and then Dave Alexander, somewhere out of the blue, decided that I could really drive a race car, and he wanted to help me get the bigger and better things. And we teamed up for all those years and had all that success. And then Jerry Finley comes along with a whole other program, and we go national, and we just seem to grow it. So it's like sort of three eras to my career, and I don't know which one's better or worse. I'm fond of them all and proud of everybody and everything that we accomplished, but it was so much fun. I wouldn't change a thing.
And now you get to still be involved at Delaware Speedway, Canada's fastest half mile, with your son, Matt. That's got to be special.
It is special, actually. Matt's a great kid, and he works really hard on his car, and I'm proud of him, of course.
What are you going to do in 2020 this year? What are you guys going to do? We had Matt on the show. Sounds like the plan is in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got any special things? Have you guys worked on anything in the winter? I know you're not going to tell me what it is, but have you got a special plan?
There's not a lot of secrets in racing anymore.
No.
But, yeah, we're always working on the car. We're always thinking about something, trying to make the car faster, you know, all that stuff that everyone works on over the winter. We're doing the same.
Well, Steve Robley, I can tell you something right now. From all of us at Racetime Radio and fans across this country that have watched you race in your day and continue to watch you race through the hands of your son, Matt, it's going to be an awesome 2020. They always got their money's worth when they came to the gate and you rolled in, but they still get their money's worth when you're in the pits. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, we've got lots of fun memories, and we have lots of conversations with lots of the old-timers that come up to say hi, and it's been a real blast.
Hey, also, I want to remind you, don't show up on Friday nights at Delaware Speedway next year.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be there on Saturday.
Yeah, just so you know. I don't want you showing up a day early.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind, though.
Well, you'll be able to stay a day late, though.
That's right.
You'll be able to. Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
We've stayed a day late a time or two ourselves anyhow.
Yeah, I can imagine trying to explain that one to Honey when you got home.
But Tech Lane, right?
Yeah.
We're in Tech.
It was those guys in Tech Lane every time.
Yeah.
You betcha. Steve, this has been great. Happy New Year, bud. And I know we look forward to catching up with you at Delaware.
Well, we'll see you in the summertime, Joe.
You want to believe it. That is Steve Robley right there. Great getting him on the show. Far, far too long, Junior. We should have had him on lots of times before now, and I know we're going to get more guys like Steve Robley on the show, Red Cross Canada.
I think back to seeing that 28 car, you know, at the racetrack and you know, working with Andrew and, of course, you know, being a part of the 81 team.
Yep.
You know, we weren't anything for like 3 years, you know, but when we would get there, Robley was at the top of the board every single week,
yeah.
You know, and it was just Robley. And I remember, so this is kind of a selfish thing, but the first time that we beat him,
yeah,
you know, like
well, that's
it was an accomplishment.
Him
that
and
it
Sheridan
was,
and it was, so many guys.
Yeah, so Gressel got this MRE car from McCall, and it was Steve Matthews' car. And, you know, it was a car that always ran up there with the guys. And, you know, it was like the third or fourth night out in the season. And, you know, I had spotted for Gressel forever. And it came down to it. We led the entire race. And we had never won a race at Delaware. And really, we had never won a race, you know, as a team in a late model. So, we led the whole race, and I think it was a 35 lapper, and it was like 15 to go, and Robley had started at the back because I think he got teched out in
qualifying.
After qualifying, he was too low, so he started like basically dead last, and Gressel, you know, came on the radio, and a lot of people don't know this, but he puts his radio button on the side of the car. Like beside the seat because he doesn't like it on the steering wheel, or he did back then. And he never talked on the radio.
Right.
And he keyed up the radio, and he always yells, and he goes, "Where's Robley?" And I like, we were under yellow. And I said, he's P4 right now. And he's like, "What?" I said, "He's P4. He's like, "Damn it." And like, you could hear the dejection in his voice.
Yeah,
And
he's coming.
We were racing hard with Scott Lindsay in the 20 car. And like, we had him covered by like a tenth, right?
Yeah,
and Lindsay. But we had, Robley had us covered by like 3/10 every single week. And, you know, it got down, there was a late race yellow with like 5 to go. And Gressel came on the radio. He goes, "Where's Robley?" And I said, "He's P2. And he goes, "Well, we're going to get this. We're going to get this." He was pumping himself up.
Right.
And they dropped the green, and I mean, I've never seen a man block somebody so hardcore in my life. And I mean, Gressel couldn't have looked out the windshield for any more than half of that, the five-lap stint.
Yeah, rubber neck.
And he's just in the mirror, and, you know, and bless Steve Robley's heart. He didn't wreck him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Any other time, if Gressel did it the second time like that.
Right.
He got it dirty,
because
he just wanted that win so bad. And the van ride home, oh, he knew it. And he should have, and I meant to say this to him, and I hope he goes back and listens, but that van ride home,
yeah,
you know, it was a 3.5-hour drive, And I'd never been so pumped up, and the team was so jacked up that we beat Steve Robley.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was, like, a massive deal. And then the next week, we got our asses spanked.
But
it was a lot of fun. And,
he did
and
pick it up.
It was so cool. Robley is just a great cat.
He's the real deal. Hey, we're going to hit the final break. When we come back, we're going to go to the east coast of Canada, and we're going to bring in Tim Terry from timscorner.ca. Stay with us. I gotta hit this one.
Hello, race fans. This is Jay Dewar, 2010 Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup champion, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. All aboard, everybody.
We do got to give just a quick shout out to Whitey at WMI and Donald Teach.
Yes.
That was a big press release.
Huge. We got to get Teachy on here.
We got to get Donald on here. We got to get Whitey on.
Whitey.
Big announcement, of course. David White is going out on his own. You know, out from underneath the DJ Kennington banner, and they're going to be racing all the oval races with Donald Teage in a WMI car. So
that's
definitely some big news. As well, I urge everybody to go to the Speed 51 Twitter page.
Yes.
And scroll through all the shenanigans that took place at Dillon Motor Speedway for the New Year's Eve bash. With the super stocks or, you know, the 88 Monte Carlo style cars, super stocks, street stocks, however you want to call it. There was some mayhem, man. A guy jumped over the fence. I'll tell you this, and you got to go watch the video. A guy jumped over the fence and beat the living heck out of a driver that was on the racetrack. How crazy it went.
You know what I got to do, Junior? I got to rack some of the quotes, because right now I can hear Tim Terry in my head going, "Hey, Joe, you got a bell on that thing?" And let's welcome up to the hotline, shall we? All the way from Truro, Ontario, maybe Halifax. I don't know. I could have moved. It is Tim Terry from Canada's East Coast, timscorner.ca. What's going on, Timmy? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. It's Truro tonight. Wherever it is, whether it's Truro or Halifax, it's snowy and cold. Put it that way.
Oh, so you're getting a little bit of winter now.
Yeah, we got a little bit of winter today. Not as much snow as they forecast, at least here in Truro. We might have got 10 centimeters. But it was windy, whipped around, it's cold. There was supposed to be a meeting today, a rules meeting today. That got canceled. So that it tells you one thing when racers don't want to talk about racing that they cancel their meeting.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. I hear you there. How are plans coming along? Speaking of the Maritimes and meetings, drivers' meetings, who's up on the list that's already had them? Who's on the list to still get them?
Well, this is the time of year where everybody just starts to wake up. It seems like after Christmas, after the New Year's, everybody starts getting into the shop and getting going. 660 already had their rules meeting. They have theirs nice and early. Petty had their rules meeting nice and early. The 660 banquet's coming up in 3 weeks. That's the last banquet, I think, of the season for last year, for 2019. And then rolling into 2020, the Maritime Pro Stock Tour was supposed to have their rules meeting today. It got pushed. No new date on that, or no new confirmation on that date yet for them. The Atlantic Modified Tour had a meeting already. They have their AGM coming up. Maritime League of Legends wrapped theirs up nice and early for 2020 to start off the year last month. Jason Foster's back in as the president, so it's really good to see there. But
nice.
Everybody's either starting to get going or just wrapped it up, and now we await the snow, let the snow fall, and then get ready for the next year. Yeah.
What's the modified count look like, Tim? I know that this is something that a lot of people have got their eyes peeled on. Definitely an exciting class everywhere. And really kind of a new deal for the East Coast.
Yeah, the Atlantic Modified Tour, it's almost like a mix in between like a sportsman car. And in there, it's not a tour type modified or an SK modified sort of deal, but it's a neat class. They hired Tony Leonard 2 years ago to do tech for that division, and that brought it up in leaps and bounds. I think they're at a car count of steady 12 to 14 cars a race. They were in a little bit of an identity crisis when it came to marketing and promotion and what have you. Glenn Knott and Brenda have stepped up to kind of steer that in 2020, and you might see some press releases from Tim's Corner on that as well. So they're in the right direction, but now they have to bring it all together. They have their AGM on the 19th in Renews, so hopefully they can get that all together on the marketing side and work with the tech side. But the car count, the product that they have on the racetrack is great. Can't wait to see what they can do with it in 2020.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook, really. With good news comes bad news, and I guess the worst news that we've heard is that the NASCAR Pinty Series does not have a Riverside date on it. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. And what are your thoughts, Tim?
I was bummed to not see that date on there, because after the race that they put on last year, it was phenomenal. Every time they come out, they have a decent race. It's probably one of the most underrated products that we have in Atlantic Canada. But I was bummed to not see it on the schedule. It kind of creates a little bit of a hole in the schedule, because if you look, with Labor Day being late this year, there's one less week in September after Labor Day, and there's one more week in August. So I'm kind of intrigued to figure out where the schedules land. I think everybody's question is, what does Riverside do for a fourth date? Because they are going to assume that there's a fourth date there. What do they do for a fourth date? Is there a Pro Stock Open? Do they add something else in there? What do they do? So I guess that's one of the biggest questions of the offseason, besides who's driving the zero car.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's going to be driving Turple's machine is a huge question. But I can tell you something right now, Tim Terry, if I know anything about Maritime Stock Car Racing, which I do know, I've been doing it now for 10 years out there, and I know Riverside International Speedway, I think the NASCAR Pinty's has made the biggest mistake they've ever made by not going back to that racetrack, and I kind of feel that racetrack is going to turn this bad news into best news that you've probably ever heard. I just got that feeling. I got that feeling, and I don't wish either one bad. I want both of them to do well, but I just cannot for the life of me figure that one out. But I guess I'm going to have to just swallow it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard from Donald or Paul what they're going to do with that empty date, but I'm intrigued to see what they do with that date, and I think everybody else is too. So once this winter holiday kind of gets over and the new year is started, I think we'll start to hear some more stuff from Riverside International Speedway, but really haven't heard anything yet. So I guess that's the one big question mark on our radar, at least so far in 2020.
Well, we know the IWK 250 is going to take place on the July 18th weekend, and I can tell you what, you could fit 3 NASCAR Pinty's races and still not do what we do in the IWK 250. That I can guarantee. And that is going to be a weekend that you're not going to want to miss at Riverside International Speedway. But, Tim, before we start talking too much about getting the green flag in the air, The winter has to take place, as you mentioned. You don't hang around out there on the East Coast too long. You head south. You got a bunch of legend stuff coming up.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that, Joe. Heading down, I think it's February 4th, we'll get ready to head down to Citrus County Speedway for NX Winter Nationals. I'm going to hang out for a couple more weeks down there, kick my feet back, and enjoy a little bit of an off time before we come back. We've got some stuff at Showtime Speedway. I think they've got a $15,000 to win figure eight race and a $10,000 to win super late race the next weekend. And stick around and see maybe the car store opener down there. I don't know what exactly is on my plate, and it's kind of a layback and not do much of anything. But the only thing that's really on my plate is Citrus County Speedway for NX Winter Nationals. It's always cool to see 150-plus legends and bandoleros go at it for 5 days of racing.
Yeah, and you'll be on the microphone bringing everybody the action. That is something that fans can really take in. It is a pay-per-view, but well worth the money, right?
Absolutely, it is. And I keep getting questions about, you know, folks going down to Speed Weeks, going down to Florida. Where are you guys? We need to come out and see you guys. Well, Citrus County Speedway is about 2 hours plus out of Daytona. So, and we race in the morning and the afternoon. We start at 12 o'clock noon. So if you are, you know, going to New Smyrna for a 7 o'clock or a 7:30 start, you can come out to Citrus, watch our show, and then go across the state and go over to Daytona or go over to New Smyrna Speedway or Volusia, wherever you're going. East Bay is right up the road about a half hour. So if you're down in the area, come on out and join us. If not, legendsnation.tv or pitrow.tv, and you can see everything live. We'll have some East Coast guys down there. I'm sure Drimmy and Boise and them will be down there from Ontario as well. There'll probably be a few more that make their way down as well. So you'll have some Canadian content to cheer on down there. Usually, or at least the last couple of years, we've had more Canadian drivers at Citrus than any other racetrack has had throughout Speed Week. So pretty neat deal.
Yeah, Michael Neary from The Rock, he probably will head down again, I would imagine. He didn't do too bad there last year.
The semi-pro division is tough, Joe. You get 30-plus drivers in there, and you have to qualify every single night to get into your A-main. And Michael Neary, Michael Cormier was also down there, did fairly well in that semi-pro division. Not sure who else we're going to see. I know Danny Chisholm usually goes down. Owen Meyer usually goes down. And they test their skills against the best when it comes to Legends Bandolero Racing as well. So excited to see them. I heard a couple of names might be going to Texas Motor Speedway this year as well for the spring battle back in March. Haven't confirmed anybody yet, but I know there's some rumblings about that too. So could be a couple of big Legends of Bandolero races prior to the season up here.
Well, just as you start to peel, Tim Terry, it'll be spring here in Ontario and out on that East Coast, and then things are going to start getting loud at places like Petty International Raceway and Oyster Bed Speedway, of course, Scotia Speed World, and all the great tracks out there. What are you hearing for new guys moving up, moving on, moving over?
Haven't really heard a whole lot as of yet. It's still that time where everybody's kind of keeping their cards close to their chest. Actually shot a shop stop with Travis Roma last week. That'll be on Tim's Corner coming up in the next week or so. And we were kind of just shooting the breeze about that stuff. You know, who's moving into sportsman, who's moving up to pro stock, who's doing this, who's doing that. So I haven't really heard a whole lot of full-time drivers moving up into the pro stock tour. I know Ryan Van Orscott. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say because I know Tom Sim will be messaging me because I'm sure he's listening. Ryan's going to do a couple more races in that 80 car, which is kind of neat. It's in their shop. They're working on that now. Not sure on how many races he's in it, but I know it'll be out sometime in the spring to get Ryan back acclimated to that car. Only had one start in it last year at the end of the year, so that's kind of nice to see. Not sure who else we're going to see full-time. I'm sure we're going to see the regular drivers that show up part-time, guys like Ashton Tucker and Ryan Messer and all those guys when we go up into New Brunswick, guys like Greg Fay, the list goes on and on. It should be a very intriguing season. Dylan Blankhorn is our reigning champion. Not sure what he's going to do next year. I did hear some rumbling that they picked up a motor and they may be headed south for one or two races at the start of the year, but I know they're still trying to put all their ducks in a row, but I know the rumbling has been strong around this Colchester County area.
I wouldn't doubt it. It would be just like a beehive here in about another month or so. Things are really going to start breaking open, and that's kind of cool when we hit that time of the season. Any chance, Tim Terry, any chance at all on the Maritime Pro Stock Tour schedule, do you think we're going to see a 660 date back on there, or do you think that's off?
I'd like to. But I don't know if that's the same sentiment with Kent Gunning and the management.
Yeah,
I know 660 wants one.
I just don't know where you fit it in the schedule, because when you look at that schedule, there's 12 weeks.
Right.
You really don't want to add a week on the schedule. And who do you drop?
And
everybody wants their races, right?
And if Riverside needs one more, who knows what those guys could create?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So there's all kinds of different potentials there.
Yeah, and when you look at the schedule, and we kind of talked about it at the summit when we had that back in November, when you look at schedules, usually the Maritime Pro Stock Tour puts theirs out first, and then it seems like everybody else trickles down in behind, because once they know their tour dates, they can slot in behind.
Right.
There's a couple of extra weeks in August. With that Pinty's race gone, who knows what's going to be there in August. There's one less week in September with the Labor Day weekend shifted to the 6th and 7th or whatever the weekend is there. It's going to create a little bit of a ripple, so once that Pro Stock Tour schedule comes down, I feel like we're going to have a whole ripple effect of other events coming up. I know Sydney is going into year two now, so they're going to look for some dates. It's very intriguing. The East Coast Mini Stock Tour and the Maritime League of Legends Tour were on that Pinty's weekend. What do they do for an extra date?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, to say the least. Oyster Bed Speedway, I know Racetime Radio got out there for the first time this year. I'll tell you what, that was huge. I personally didn't make it, but I know our guys did, you did, and man, you guys had a gas out there, and those people were, they're dynamite race fans.
And it was Robbie McEwen going to victory lane for that first race.
Yeah, it was.
When you guys were out there. So that's absolutely huge. That's one of the biggest events. When you look back into 2019, it might not be the biggest win per se. You look at guys like Ashton Tucker winning the 250 in Fredericton, Cassius Clark winning the two 250s on the tour. There's some big moments from last year. Robbie McEwen's win has to be up there in the top five, whatever way you put it. And those fans absolutely packed that place on the long weekend in August. They love their racing, and they always see a good show as well. So I'm excited to see what happens there and see who comes out on top. And, you know, it's always the battle of the bridge, who's going to come out on top, whether it's an Islander or a mainlander.
Yeah, guaranteed every time. And Mink and those Island boys put a race together. They can do it either on the island or on the mainland, either or. They're always a threat to do something on the racetrack. Tim, got to look at something here. We got Gary Elliott, the Ironman, the Quaker State Chevrolet. He's going to show up, and he's going to be in a number 53. It's going to have a 36 on it because it's going to be Gary's car. But it started out as a 53. That man's going to be in a good piece.
Absolutely, he is. And he got a little taste of the IWK 250, what he's going to see on the tour. But then you throw him at a racetrack, like a bull ring, like Petty International Raceway, and then you go to the flat track at Scotia Speed World. All four racetracks, which is the great thing about our tour, they're completely different, have different characteristics. Not one is the same as the other. Yes, if you run well at Petty, you might run well at Oyster Bed and vice versa. But you still don't have the same racetrack everywhere we go. So I know Gary is the Iron Man. He's been around. He's seen many racetracks before. He's seen some of them in the past, but he's going to have to get acclimated, and acclimated very quickly, because those guys are going to be on top of the game.
I can't wait for the rest of the competitors to stand back and say, who the hell's that? Who's that? Who's that old guy out there? Look at him go. Because I'll tell you what, I kind of think, Tim Terry, we're going to be in for a moment like that this year. Gary may not go out there and clean up, but he is going to be in a really good piece. And I don't think you could get any more experience than what Gary Elliott's going to have in that race car. I kind of like his chances. And what can you say, Tim? We got a lot of life ahead of us. At least I hope we do. Gary Elliott, he's looking in that with the windshield going, hey, mine's getting shorter here. I need some big-time victories. And that just could be it.
And, you know, when you look at the tour, we had one first-time winner last year in Robbie McEwen. And not discounting Kenny Wallace's win last year at the IWK 250 or 2 years ago. But the last time we had a first-time winner prior to that was Greg Fay at Speedway 660. We're on the cusp of having a bunch of new winners. Nicholas Nogle is close. Jared Butcher is close. Obviously, you can throw Gary Elliott's name in the ring with being in an X53 car. There's some really good talent on our tour that has been knocking on the door. Steve Halpin had a podium finish last year. The list goes on and on of drivers that could break through for their first win. I don't think we've seen a season like that since about 2014 or 15, where we've had multiple first-time winners in a season. We could very well have that again in 2020, and it could happen fairly quickly.
In 2020, does Donald Chisholm finally win at Scotia Speed World after, what, 55 tries?
Well, Emily's got five trophies now. He's got to get up on the wheel. Five trophies and a championship, let's put it that way, and she has no bones at mixing that up when we ask her about it. But
I think he's got to get up on the wheel. He was close a couple of times last year, but I'm sure that pressure might be getting to him too, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I would hold it over my dad's head too.
He always does.
I mean, I would. All right, Tim. Here's the question of the hour: who's going to drive the zero car? Go.
I don't have an answer for you.
Come on, who's going to drive the zero? I know you know.
Who do you want to see in it?
I know you know. Don't play coy with me, Tim.
Squeeze him, Junior.
Who would
Squeeze
I like
him.
To see in it?
Yeah, yeah. Who would you like to see in it?
If I had to guess, I would guess Matt Vaughn.
Matt Vaughn.
The only reason why I say Matt Vaughn is you look at drivers that have supported Scotia Speed World and that are in a sportsman car that are ready to go up and move up that might not necessarily have the equipment to do so on their own.
Yes.
I think Matt Vaughn fits that.
Yeah.
And Matt and Larry are great people, would love to see them in there, but I don't know. I've heard a couple of other names thrown around and one name that's quite close, and you know, there's other names that I heard from left field that I would have never anticipated being in the conversation. So to answer the question, I don't know. I'd like to see Matt Vaughn in it. I've heard a couple of other names thrown around. Matt worked with the team last year, too, so that kind of makes it...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't want to say it. What's that? Yeah,
I
he worked
didn't
with the
know
team
that.
Last year at the end of the year.
I so, didn't know that.
Yeah, so that would be the you know, if you're trying to put two and two together, that might be the easiest decision.
Yes.
But there's other names thrown around, too, so I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet and haven't really seen anything yet come out, and it's only January. They've still got a couple of months to get it together, but I'm sure whoever's in that race car is going to be a threat at some point to win a race.
Homework project.
I'll tell you what, at some point, Sean Turple is going to have a long face, and I can guarantee you he will not listen to Racetime Radio because he will miss this way, way too much.
Well, at some point here in the next couple of years, I would think he's going to have a bandolero for Thomas.
Well, that could be, but he's got when he steps away like he's about to, he can't go anywhere near this racetrack because that guy ain't even close to retirement age.
No, he's not, and I'm sure it's going to bite at him a little bit. But he also said at the banquet, too, that he wasn't he was retiring from full-time competition, not retiring from the sport, period.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Sean Turple in a race car, whether it is a late model at Scotia Speed World or on the Parts of Trucks Pro Stock Tour. It obviously isn't going to be a full-time deal. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sean back in a race car. It just won't be a full-time ride.
Oh, so many questions in this offseason. We're going to get the answers for you, fans. You just got to hang with us. Tim Terry, got to thank you so, so much for your time tonight on Racetime. We'll catch up with you before you slap on the sunscreen, and we'll see what else. We'll squeeze you for some more East Coast race talk. What do you think?
Sounds good. If I hear anything else, I'll let you know. Keep tabs at timscorner.ca. I know we've got that Shop Stop coming up with Travis Roma probably next week. And I talked to Dylan Blankhorn on Friday when I stopped into Auto Rights. We're going to have a Shop Stop with him as well. So going to be a neat couple of weeks before I head down south. But it's snowy. It's cold up here. It's actually winter now. So I guess we can get this part out of the way, right?
Yes, we sure can. Bundle up. It's only going to get colder from here. That's Tim Terry. Timscorner.ca is where you can check Jimmy out. Always a great guest on Racetime and, of course, a valued part to the Racetime radio broadcast team when we're out on that East Coast. Knows his stuff, Junior.
Just a great cat and somebody that loves the sport.
Loves, yep. Just 100%. Just like you said before, is the sport.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he is. But you know what? That is going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio for lining up all of our guests and getting them on the hotline. Got to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio of SiriusXM. Junior, you know what? There's two different types of listeners.
Yep.
People that have SiriusXM. And people that's going to get SiriusXM.
That's right.
Those are the two different types of listeners.
That's right.
Because when you got SiriusXM,
you may as well go get it.
Yeah. When you got SiriusXM, you get Race Time.
Yeah.
And you also get SiriusXM NASCAR Radio over on Channel 90. And you don't want to miss that. They got 24/7 NASCAR talk. Tune in here on Sunday night. Tune in there through the week. I think you got it all covered. But that's going to do it for us. I'm out of breath. I'm on a time to eat some more. That's what I'll do. Have a good one, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday right here on Racetime Radio. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com.
a message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.